tomorrow night, and I said to him, you took my verses. But I believe the Lord had led me to these again today, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses, starting from Ephesians number 2, verse 8 to 15, I think it is. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And this is the gospel. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off, were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Amen. You know, in those beautiful verses in 13 to number 15 is what Christ Jesus has done in my life. I was born in Ballymena, up in Ballykeel. I lived with my mum and my dad, and I have a younger brother, Jeff, as I have, and we grew up in Ballykeel, and my mum and dad sent me to Sunday school, but sadly to say, in that Sunday school, I never remember being told that I needed to be saved, that I needed to be born again, and that Christ loved me. So no, I can't mind, and through my testimony, you can see that I was a brave and ignorant man, and I would say that's what it was, through ignorance, and I didn't want to know, I would say, even at that early age. For the Bible says in Psalm 51 and verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You know, and it also says in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I can honestly say in those years, my mum and dad, they sent us faithfully out. But as young men and thing, we got into Sunday school and started fighting and then the BB, and we were playing football. And that's why I went to the BB, was because I was a goalkeeper and I done goals for them. And then they threw me out because I hit a boy one day. So I wasn't allowed to bet again, so that was it. And that's the way sort of my life went. At the age of 13, 14 years old, I joined a band in Ballymena Young Defenders. I was in it for 3 weeks and then it closed up. And it was called the BYD. And as I was there, this is when Rodney Balmer sort of came into my life. Rodney was a bandmaster in the band at that time. And I'd got a flute, so I had, and I was learning the tunes. I mean it as well, the US Marines. So I was, and I was learning this tune to get out and pray with these boys, but this band, it all fell apart. And one night, Rodney, he came to the door, knocked the door, and he says to me, give me your flute. And I cried my eyes out. He took my flute off me, and that was what I was wanting to do. But as we went on at that time, my cousin David, he started up a band in Ballykeel, and it was Ballykeel Loyal Sons of Ulster. And at that time, I joined that band then after that. You know, and at that time, I had no thought of God at all. You know, and as Romans 5 and 12 says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. At that time, if anything would have happened to me, I'd have been in hell today. You know, it's only by the grace of God I stand here tonight. I'm nobody. I'm a scumbag from Ballymena. That's why I look at myself. That's all I am in my life, as you hear it. You know, but as I went on, the band came in, and I'm not saying nothing about bands, but and the bands come in, the drink come in. So I did at the age of 13, 14, I was smoking, drinking, and going out to these band parades. This is what I was allowed to do. Before that, my mum and my dad had me in at 7 o'clock every night, and everybody else was running about the state, and I was lying in bed. So it was. But when I joined this band, I was allowed to go at the weekends with the band because of my cousins and who else was there, you know. But in John 1:8 and 34, whosoever committeth sin is a servant, or a bondslave of sin. And I can honestly say at that time I was. But later on, as we were going on in 1981, 82, the Anglo-Irish Agreement started. And this is when the bands really got, things really got bad in my life. So we got into the band, and You're going out praying in the country and going to protest marches, and you'd done what you had to do when you were in the band, and that was just that. People were telling you to do this when we were going here and going there. But sadly, into that, more drink and more drink came in. So it did, and at the age of 21, I got married. So it did, and I had three children out of that marriage, and at the age of 28, it was all over because of the drink. But at the age of, I'm going back now, at the age of 17 was the first time through these bands the police ever came through my mother's door. 5:30 in the morning, they kicked the door in and come running up the stairs and were shouting and squealing, and I was lying in the back room and my wee brother was lying in the front room, and my dad got out of the bed and he says, what's going on? And one of the pillars says, we're here for one of your sons. You know, my dad went in and my wee brother and woke him and says, the police is there for you. You know, little did he know it was me. And as Thomas Martin was saying last night, I mean it as well, going down the stairs handcuffed, and two policemen beside me, and all the police outside, and all the neighbours out, and I was going down the stairs, and I says, Dad, don't worry, I done nothing. Don't have to worry, I done nothing, you know. Sadly to say, from that day, the night I got saved, the police was in my life nearly every year. So I was, and in and out, I done remand and jail, and you have to remember, my mum and dad were, my dad was a straight A student. Everything he'd done was perfect. And his son, his big son, had let him down and running about doing things. But after the marriage split up, this is when the drink really got in, you know, because after that, I was there in a flat on my own, down in Horrible, and that's all I'd done was drink. And then I got a flat up in Ballykeel One. So I didn't. And through that, I started to sell the drink. So I did around the estate. And I was getting, it wasn't called vodka, it was called wodka. And these boys were all laughing because them boys were, we used to drink it. So we did. And I used to buy it for £3 and sell it for £6. And that's how I kept my drinking habit up. So it was, I would have bought 90 bottles every week. And then you'd have been finished at the end of the week, you'd have been buying more, you know. But sadly to say, you know, when I started off drinking, I started off drinking a tin of beer and a bottle of cider. So I did, you know, and I got an illustration one night and I thought it was so true and so real. So I did. It was of a man drinking at the start and he was holding the bottle. And it showed you through his life. So it did. And at the end of it, he was inside the bottle. You know, and that's what I can say, honestly can say, that drink ruled my life. I couldn't do nothing, and I mean nothing, without a drink in me. So I couldn't go out and speak to people. And even at that, a man wants to get saved. A young man coming up to me and saying to me one night, he says, Frankie, he says, I'm glad you're saved. You know, and I go, why? You know, it's great to be. He says, because when I seen you, he says, I walked across the other side of the street. You know, and that's the way my life was. I never knew this. A man coming home many a night, drunk, across the big green, across the thing. It was a big row of flats, and I lived up in the top flat. So I did, and the next morning people would have been saying, you ought to see the state of you coming home last night. And I'd have woke up, and maybe muck everywhere. So what are you know? But that was my life. And all was my life was a lot of violence. Thomas Martin said last night, you know, about his dad. Said that, and it broke my heart. Because last night was the first time I thought about my children. Not the first time I thought, but the way Thomas said. He says, my dad was a violent man coming home. We drank in him. You know, and I don't blame my first wife, for leaving me, because I was a violent man when I came home. Because you know yourself, if you're on a drink, if you're living that life, you hate to live it. You can't fall about with it. You're in it. And I know where you're in. So I do. I know where you're at. Because I lived it. So that, you know, when I can see young people today in the same area where I was at, they'll be starting off with a tin of beer. They'll be starting off and they're getting more and more and more into it. But I can say to you tonight, if you're going to live that life, you shall live it. See, you will, because you will not be able to control what will happen to you. And I can honestly say that. I know I was the one went into the pub, the drunkard lying in the corner. Look at that there. I'll never be like that there. And little did I know, in a short space of time, that's where I was lying. In the corner, a dirty, rotten drunkard. Not caring about nobody or anything, but just caring about myself. You know, in 1999, when the Lord really came into my life, so he did. This man is testifying the morning night. Rodney got saved. And I knew what Rodney was like, said Ed, because I grew up with Rodney in the bands and stuff. And Rodney had to get saved. And you know, what Rodney had is what I wanted. I run about every weekend trying to put a smile on my face to drink. Said Ed, you know, many a Saturday morning I woke up, I never even opened my eyes. I just closed my hands. Because I mean, just closing my hands and squeezing my hands, and if my hands were broke, I knew I was fighting the night before. I couldn't even tell you who I was fighting with or what I was fighting with. You know what it says? I was reading the Bible, so I was, and I said to the Lord, you know, there's men say, you'll find your life. You'll find your life in the Bible. And I was saved, and I asked the Lord, you know, my life's in the Bible. You know, where I wonder where it is. And I was reading Proverbs 23, and I came to verse 29, and to the end of that, and it says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contention? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his colour in the cup." When it moveth itself all right, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When I shall awake, I will seek it yet again. You know, and that's the drunkard. And many a night I woke up, face battered off me. You know, people say, what happened to your bike? I says, I got kicked around too many car parks. So I did, and that is the truth. So it was, you know, and when I got saved and I started reading this book means everything to me, because your life's in it, no matter who you are or what you are. I love the Bible because the Bible brings everybody down to the same level. No matter who you are, what intelligence you have or what intelligence you haven't got. I left school with nothing. As Thomas Martin says, he left school when he was 15. I was feared he'd leave school. I didn't even do the TEG exam in case I failed it. I was that stupid. So I didn't want to be like, he's stupid, he failed the TEG exam. So then I just went on to school. I just left school and started painting. So that is, I'm not saying anything about painting. My painting's not too bad. So I'm not. I am. So I'm not. But Ronnie got saved. And Ronnie was coming. He was a painter. He was coming to work with me. And he worked with me for 8 months. And this is the truth. See, if you've got a Christian friend, don't despise him. And that's the truth. Ronnie Bammer came in and he come in on a Monday, and I couldn't wait to I tell him what I had done on the weekend. You know, I couldn't wait to bring forth my sin. And I had a silly run, what were you doing? He says, I was going to church, I was singing, I was talking to this and I was talking to that. You know, and I sat and going, huh, how do you get enjoyment out of that? But Ronnie preached to me, this is honest, Ronnie preached to me 7 days a week, 8 hours a day. From what Rodney was to Rodney is now, he only spoke about the Bible and what Christ had done for him. You know, and he was frying my head. And that's the truth. He was doing my head in. So he was. And at the end, I sort of stayed away from him. You know, get away. He's mental. He's nuts. You know, and that's honest. That's what I thought. That's what I thought of Rodney. But Rodney, he kept preaching to me. But the thing about Rodney Bammer was, Rodney Bammer walked in front of me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, I knew Christians in that church that I went to would have been calling me scum if I'd have been lying about the street. I know they would not have been, because I've got it said to me when we were sand putting flags up in the estate and stuff like that, get away from Ordo, these boys were only scum, and they were supposed to be Christians. So they were, you know, and that's what I thought a Christian was. That's the truth. I thought a Christian was an old people sitting in the corner waiting for God to come. That's what I thought. That's what Christianity meant to me. It meant absolutely nothing. Until Rodney got saved. He started preaching. He said to me, he says, will you come to a wee meeting with me one night? And I says, Rodney, I will go. He kept at me and at me. And I says, right, I'll go with you. But there's supposed to be six or seven other wives going too. And I says, well, I'll go because they're going anyway. And I was sitting at the back and so only he put my head down. So it was. So I says, I'll go, Rodney. And Rodney phoned me. He says, are you going? I says, aye. And I says, who else is going? He says, nobody. I says, oh, Rodney, come on now. And he says, no, nobody else. I says, right. I said, I'll go. You know, before I went into that meeting, you know, Rodney had always said to me, he says, Ryan, he says, ask the Lord to speak to you. Now, this is before, you know, he said to me, he says, ask God to speak to you. You know, I went into that meeting that night, and I did. I just said to God, well, God, if you're going to save me, you're going to save me. And that was it. You know, little did I know, I was saying what the Bible says. You know, seek and ye shall find. Ask, and it shall be opened unto you. You know, I didn't know at that time. I knew nothing about the Bible. To tell you the truth, I learned to read, reading the Bible. And that is the truth. I never read in my life. I read a book the time I was in remand. You were an 18-hour lock-up and 23-hour lock-up, and you'd done nothing else, but that's what I'd done. Read a book. You'd nothing else to do. So you had, and I went in that meeting that night, and I came out of that meeting, and I said to myself, well, I'm out, and I'm not saved, so I must be too bad. God mustn't want me. Now, what I can honestly say, from that night until the night I got saved, I see now how God has spoke to me so many times. Now, I lived in a flat in Ballachill 1, in a top flat, and had a double bed and a 28-inch TV in it, and it's a T, and that was my life. Now, the devil promised me everything at the start, and I had everything at the start. I had a wife, I had three children, I had a house, I had a car, I had a job. And when I went home from that night, I started to think about myself. What are you? Who? You're here for something. What is this all about? I was running about at the weekends. On a Friday night, I had a drink. We had three darts. I had a night at a mate's house. And we had a drink. A 10-glass bottle of vodka from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And this is to my shame. This is the way I had to live. You know, people laugh. So they do. This is the way I had to live. So I could live no other way. Because I knew no other way. We drank that bottle of vodka. We went out to the darts. And we spent £60 or £70 that night in the darts, and we'd come home about 11:30, and I'd have had a £40 car hitch sitting. And me and Diane, who is now my wife, I'll tell you a wee bit of that later, we'd have sat down and drunk that. And I'd drunk that about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I'd have got up again on a Saturday morning and I'd have done the exact same thing. And on a Sunday, and that's to my shame, we'd have went out to the pub on a Sunday too. And Monday morning, you've been lying dying. Tuesday, and then you started back again on a Wednesday. See, what? Even through the week, we were having drink there because the bottles of vodka were in my house. You know, that was to my shame, you know. And in Isaiah 59 and 2, it says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You know, in that Ephesians 2 and 12, without Christ being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promises. I had no promises to go to because I didn't know Christ. You know, and if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, you have no promises to go into. You have nothing to hold on to. That's all. I know in my life it was all empty. Anything I grasped a hold of, I had it for a couple of days or something, and then it always disappeared. You know, and it's saying, having no hope, I'm without God in this world. And I can honestly say, in that time, I had honestly, no hope. But going on, and as we went on, and that's the way I live my life. I drunk, said that and that. And a man coming home one night, I say this in my testimony because I just want to show you the way I lived. I come home and I turned the TV on. I was full drunk. I turned the TV on, and this wee big smoke came out of the bag. And I just don't believe it. That's all I had. And over, and I lifted it, and I just pulled it out of the wall, and I threw it out the window. And I was 3 stories up. And the next morning, my brother came round and he says, what happened last night? You know, and I just woke up and I said, I don't know, but I'm freezing. I didn't even know I'd done it. I woke up in the bed beside the window, and the window was out. And the TV, thankfully, never went out. The window, smashed the window and fell back in again, but the glass, and I had to get downstairs. I read that all up, and the wee woman downstairs below us was 80 years old. No, I didn't care about her. You know, I didn't care about nobody. So I didn't. But that's, if you're going to live that life of drink, that's the way you're going to be living. I know you maybe say, oh, it's not going to happen to me. That, things are not like that. It's not going to happen to me. But that's the way it is. The violence comes with a drink, too. It doesn't matter if you know yourself. If you're a drinker yourself, you know yourself what happens. So it does. But as we went on, as I went on in them 8 months, me and I'd met a girl and it was going well. She was the only one that could ever drink with me. She was the only one that would stay with me. She could drink what I could drink. So she could, anybody else I'd have went out with at the weekend, no, would have, I'm not going with you because you get drunk too quick or I get drunk too quick or something like that there. But Diane was the only one that could sort of stay with me, and she's the only one that could. When I met her, I said to myself, I'm going to change myself here because I'm going to, if I keep going the way I'm bringing pillars to the door and stuff, I said, she won't want me neither. So I sort of didn't go out as much and stayed and drunk in the house, and that was even worse because you're drinking even more. See you wearing, partying, see you wearing. But things, Christmas came. Now, we had never argued, well, not argued what way we used to argue, no. Christmas came and we were up in the pub in Ballymena up in Knock Eden, and our fight started out and I landed up in the middle of it. You know, and I came away going, oh no, I didn't want this. New Year's Eve came, the same thing happened again. We were out one night, and that's on the 4th of February, 1999. We were drinking all night. We came home about 7:30 in the morning. We were in a party, and we went to bed. And what happens? I says, violence happens. We drink, and me and Dan fell out. So we did, and I got up, and I says, look, I don't want to do this no more. I don't want to ever live this life again. I knew where I was going, and I said to her, I need to get saved. Me and her split up, and I went around to the flat. And I can honestly say, from that night to the night I got saved, I cried every night in my bed. So that I honestly can say that God really was working with me. You know, Matthew 19:26, it says, with men this is impossible, but God, with God all things are possible. And I couldn't change my life. I couldn't. And that was just that. I just couldn't do it. You know, so I was going out and get more drunker. I was going down to the boys in the pub and I was saying to them about 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, I'm away to a party in Antrim. I mind it as well. I'm away to a party. I was a liar. I was going up to Ballachaley, lie and cry my eyes out. Because I could not get no peace. I could get no peace at all. So I couldn't. But little did I know at this time that Rodney and a boy, Ricky Bell, were praying every Friday night for me. That God would give me no peace. So he did know. When I get saved, I says, could you not have said something else? You know, because I can honestly say my head was tormented. So it was, well, on the 4th of April 1999 is really when the Lord really started to step into my life. Me and Diana tried to get back together. We'd went out that night. So we did. We went to a bar, out for a meal, and we slap up meal and all this here, what you do, trying to get the brownie points gathered up again. See where, you know, I was going, not too bad, right? This is good. Down in a pub in Ballymena, in the pub in Ballymena, and wasn't too long to have a boy by the throat. And I goes, no, this is not right. So it's not. And I just came out in that bar and we went home and I got up the next morning and I just said to Dan, I says, I'm sorry. I says, I'll never change. And I says, I'm away. And I went out that door that day and you get down the bridge at Ballachaden and up over and on to a dual carriageway. And I was standing in the dual carriageway in the grass version of the dual carriageway and I was standing there. As I was walking down, I was thinking about my life. I was thinking what I'd done, what I put my mum and my dad through. So I had, you know, my mum, hair fell out because of the worry about me. My dad was a man never in court. I had him in court and I had him in jail. You know, with three children, three boys. And this is the truth. I couldn't wait till them boys grew up. And I was my drink. I couldn't wait till them boys grew up and get down to town and I got them a drink because I was thinking, big Frankie and my three sons in Ballymena, not too many people will touch me. And that's honest. And that's what I was rearing my sons up in. So it was. You know, and as I went on, down through that, I was standing on that grass verge, I was just thinking, I was just sitting to myself, take you, just get out of it. If you get out of the road, nobody will have any more problems. You know, a life in the pit of hell. I was standing there, and there's a car coming down, and I says, well, if you step out, sure it'll be all over in a flash. And as I went to put my foot to step out, a wee voice just came in my head and said to me, are you not a better man than this? And when I put my foot in, I would say the man in the car, his face, he knew what I was doing. So he did. And I just walked down, and I mean it as well, it was about 10 o'clock in the morning, and at that time McDonald's had a breakfast in the morning, 10 o'clock, and I walked in about 2 minutes past 10. So then he says, give me a breakfast, and the boy said, no. And I got my throat over the counter, and I said, I want my breakfast. And that's how ignorant a man I was. And that was to my shame. That's the way I lived. So it was. And I went to the mate's house, and we went out that day, and we got full drunk. So we did. And I was standing in the bar, and the horse and jockey in Ballymena at 10:30 that night, and the cousins and all were in round, and we were all having a drink, and then they started show me what kind of life I was, what kind of person I was. He says, your wee brother's better than you and all this here. And he's standing slobbering to me. He said, well, to tell you the truth, and I stand slobbering back to him. So I was, and I had a fog of coke in front of me, and I said to myself, boy, I seen I drink this fog of coke, I'm going to turn around and bar the head clean off you. I could not be bored listening to him anymore. You know, and I took a drink of the fog of coke, and that was in my mind, just to turn around and hit my dang in the mouth. You know, as I set that glass on the table, that noise, that wee voice begging in my head again. Just says, you know a better man than that. I went down to town. I just walked out of that bar and I says, I need to get saved. So that, and little did I know at this time, I didn't know this after I got saved, but I was going to a friend's house, a boy's house who was a Christian. I didn't know this. And so that, for weeks I was doing this, and a Friday or Saturday night I ended up at his door full drunk and asking him, no, how did he get saved? You know, that man just brought me in and laid me down to the tea and waited till I got sobered up. And then I must have got up, because I can never mind leaving his house. I can never mind going out of his house. I can never mind being there. But when I got saved, he said that to me. He says, you just come in, he says, I wanted to get in my bed, I had to work. He says, I just let you lie down there. Well, I ended up in his house, up to his house, that door. And I mean it as well. I bartered and bartered the door, but he won't let me in. And I looked up and I seen him standing at the window. And he looked down and he didn't let me in. I knew the house I had to go to. I knew I had to go to see Rodney. Because I knew Rodney was going to tell me the truth. And he tell you the truth, I didn't want to know the truth. You know, the devil was still working by me, still pulling at me. So he was, but I walked up to the Drumtara that night. And it was Easter Saturday night. So it was Saturday night. And I went to Rodney's house and I knocked the door. And there's glass thing, and I seen Rodney coming to the door. So I said, yes, a big hard man. Supposed to be a big hard man from Ballymena. Rodney opened the door, and I burst into tears. And I said, Rodney, can you take me out of this life? Because I can't live this life no longer. You know, and he says, come on in. And they came in, and they took me upstairs up into the bedroom. He sent me down, started to talk to him. He says, Ryan, do you want to see a minister? And I said, Rodney, I need somebody. He says, who else do you want? And I says, I want Davy Laverty, Tam Laverty. I don't know many people I had in that room that night, but Rodney went and got every one of them. And these are boys that were in a band with me, and I'd get saved. And I knew what they were like, and I could trust them. You know, and that's why it's so important to walk Christian life. Because them other Christians, I don't want them near me. So I didn't, because I couldn't trust them. I wouldn't believe the word. But these men had walked faithfully in front of me. You know, there's people out there and they profess to have a name. And that's all it is. You know yourself what a Christian is. And you have it in your head when you were unsaved what a Christian was. You know, but to have the reality is something wonderful. You know, Mr. Mellon came in that night and he sat me down. This is man that lived in Ballymena, the Bible built of Ballymena. And I couldn't tell you one verse, not one verse out of the Bible. I never read it. I told you before, I couldn't read it. I never read the Bible. Mr. Mellon opened the Bible and he sat down and he showed me out of the Bible where I was a sinner. In Romans 5 and 8 says, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, and he showed me out the Word of God. And he took me to a verse, and Thomas Martin said it last night in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. You know, I had many excuses that night not to get saved. I told him I couldn't read. Said, Ed, I told him I couldn't leave Diane. I hadn't even got Diane. No, that's the lie of the devil too. He'd tell you things you hadn't even got. Said, Ed. But Mr. Mullen sat me down that night. And the words he said to me was there. He says, Ryan, who's standing at your heart's door tonight? You know, and I knew who was standing at my heart's door tonight, that night. But to my shame, before Jesus Christ was a curse word to me. You know, I cringe today when I hear young people taking that name. So, because that's all his name meant to me, was a curse word. And Mr. Mullen said to me, who's standing at your doors? And I said, Jesus. I cried because it was real. And he just said to me, he says, do you want to get saved? And I says, I do. And I says, I want to take me out of this life. I don't want to live like this no more. And I simply got down, and I had over £150 worth of vodka in me that day. And I simply got down on my hands and my knees, and I asked the Lord into my heart. I don't know the prayer I asked. I don't know the prayer I said. I can't mind. So I can't. I was in no church. I never went to church. I was in a bedroom in Drumtara. Rodney Bomber was lying on the floor praying, and Mr. Mullen and there's two other men sitting, and they were praying while I was praying. And I simply asked the Lord into my heart that night, and from that night to this night, He has kept me. The next morning I woke up, Diane phoned me and says to me, I was worried about you last night. What were you at? And I turned right to her and I says, no, I think I got saved last night. The devil was straight in. So he was. I got off the phone. She was crying. I was crying. I got off the phone. I rung wee Tam Laverty. And I says, Tam, if I get saved last night, get you me to church. And Tam came and he took me to church. I couldn't even tell you what the minister said that day. I just opened the hymn book. And I cried. And I filled that hymn book with tears. And that's the truth. I didn't even know. I couldn't even tell you. I didn't know a verse out of the Bible. I knew nothing. So that I was talking to a boy one time. Down in Port of Oga, and he says, I know nothing about nothing. I thought it was funny. I know nothing about nothing. And that's honest. I knew nothing about the Bible. I went to church that Sunday, and praise God, I've been in church ever since. And God has kept me. I haven't kept myself. I tried it so many times. So many times. But so many times I patted myself on the back and says, you're a good man. Said that I wasn't giving God nothing. Wasn't long after that. It was the next day, and a matter of fact, I was telling you about Diane. Diane rung me up and says to me, she says, I haven't stopped crying all day. I haven't. No, can you help me? And I went around, I hadn't a clue. I hadn't a clue. I was only saved, I hadn't a clue. And I went around and I told her what happened to me. So I hadn't, and she phoned, and I phoned me, Tam Laverty, and I says, Tam, you wouldn't come in and see Diane, you know. And the Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. You know, you may be in here tonight and you're thinking, see, I'll never be able to do that, never be able to keep that. You know, that was one of Diane's excuses. You know, and I got saved on the 4th of April 1999. Diane got saved on the 5th of April 1999. In my flat. In my city. You know, that spoke to me. God used me. A dirty, rotten, stinking sinner. So he did. Somebody that was destined for hell, the very next day, he used something of mine to bring a child of his to the gates of heaven. You know, she sat. She cried, and she just said the same simple prayer. She asked the Lord into her heart. You know, in John 6:37, it says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And I mean that wee verse because that's the verse that Tam said to Diane. Because Diane says, are you sure I'm saved? You know, and as I go on in life now, Chris testified on Monday night, you know, I go out with Chris. I'm a nobody. I'm an absolutely nobody. You know, I was reading today, I was sending me Brian coming down. coming down the road there in Romans 8 and 1. You know, it says, "Now for there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You know, I can stand here tonight saying to myself, I have a home in heaven because I believe God's word. And this little book is so real. It's so real, it's unbelievable. It's alive. You know, before, I never wanted to know this book. And I can honestly say tonight, this is the way. Christ says in John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me. No man can come unto me but by the Son." You know, today, there's only one way to Christ, and that's through Jesus Christ. You know, if you're not in Christ, you know, think about this. You're against him. There's no middle wall with Christ. You can't have one foot, as you say, in the world and one foot with Christ. If you're in the world, you're in it. If you're with Christ, you're with Christ. You know, it's a solemn thing to think. You know, the Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth." You know, 1 John 1 and 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And that's why I stand here tonight. I simply sat in a bedroom in Drumtara and got on my knees and asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. And he forgave me for my sins. There's many a people in Ballymena that hasn't forgiven me, so they haven't for the wrongs that I've done to them. You know, I think of my children growing up. For 5 years I had them at Sunday school. For 5 years I had them at church. The oldest boy's 17 now, he doesn't want to know. The youngest boy's 15, he doesn't want to know. I have a son growing up, Stuart, and he goes to church now. And I know when he comes in age, he'll go out too. But I can honestly say, and I know by the grace of God, it says in the Bible, you know, so it does. It's in the, I can't remember where it's at now. "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house." And I know as them young men go out into life today, I can go on my knees, just like Rodney and Ricky, and I can pray for them. I can pray that God will show them their sales, because that's what is needed today. You know, there's many a church, many a place running about telling you, if you're all right, if you're happy, you're saved. A lot of nonsense. That's a lot of holy. You know, there's only one way. And that's Christ's way. You know, tonight, I thank and praise the Lord for the amount of people that's here tonight. I thank and praise you for your coming down. I thank and praise Colin for asking me to come. For it's a joy for me to come and tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. Thank you very much. Amen.
Thanks very much, Ryan. That's another great word of testimony. I trust indeed that the Lord has been speaking to you through it. And Ryan will be here after our meeting's over. And you feel free to come and have a word with him and have a chat with him about what he's been saying. And perhaps you're concerned even, and you know in your heart that you need to be saved and the Lord is speaking to you. Please don't leave tonight. Do come and speak to some of us. And we'll be more than happy to show you how you can be saved and how you can know peace with God. We're just going to close in a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, Lord, for the peace of God which passeth all understanding. We thank you, Lord, for thy so great salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to this world and died upon the cross, that sinners can have their sins forgiven and can know peace with God and assurance of a place in heaven. We thank you for Ryan's testimony here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the change that has been seen in his life. We thank you for the challenge, even from the words that he has been saying to us. And Lord, for those of us who are saved that's here tonight, Lord, we pray that you'll help us in our daily walk to be a living testimony as to what the Lord can do for you. Lord, help the world to see Christ in our lives. Lord, just be with us now as we separate the one from the other. We thank you for everyone that's here tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you'll give peace and safety to those who are here as they travel home. And we pray for the blessing of God to be on all hearts and all minds that are here tonight. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.